This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. If you are a Christian, is your witness consistent? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you who have created faith within the hearts of many may also be the one who strengthens and causes us to grow into maturity. Father, today we pray in a very special way that we may be consistent in our witness. For we know how easy it can be to adjust, to praise you on Sunday, and if need be, to turn our backs on you come Monday. Lord, forgive us where that has happened. And so today, through your word, may the Spirit of God create within us a faith that is maturing each time that we stand with you. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, as many of you know, Tony Dungy is a well-known football coach of the Indianapolis Colts. In his book, Quiet Strength, the coach writes about the need of a football team being consistent in their play. He writes, quote, "We had just defeated the New England Patriots 40-21. As we turned our eyes towards Houston, the next game on the schedule, I was concerned about our guys losing their focus. Our guys were being told from every corner of the globe how amazing they really were. As I was thinking about the illustration to best drive home my point to the team, my children gave me the idea of McDonald's. The beauty of McDonald's is that they are consistent with their food. The reason my kids like McDonald's is that they always know what they are going to get. The French fries they order in Indianapolis are just like the French fries they ordered in Tampa. Wherever they get McDonald's fries, they know they will be the same. They don't make French fries in New England more special than the ones they make in Houston. We have to do the same. We can't view one game as more important than another. Just like McDonald's, we need to keep making the fries even better." Knowing that I was going to preach on this text in the 9th chapter of John where Jesus healed the blind man, I thought what a great illustration to try to bring home the point, the need of a consistent witness. I have struggled throughout my life to be consistent in much of my behavior, but especially to be consistent in my Christian witness. Have you ever had someone ask, "Where is your Christianity today?" Maybe you have spoken a harsh word or done something that is not becoming to the Christian ethic at all, and your friends are astounded. You call yourself a Christian? It is at that time that they drive home the point how inconsistent we can often be. It's not always easy, like Bungie writes in his book, to live that consistent life. Here, for example, you're talking with a person who is a good friend of yours. He is not a committed Christian. And so as you talk about Jesus, he perhaps will say, "Well, I like to think of him as a great teacher, a fine moral example." And he's expecting you to say, "Well, that's up to you. That's the way you see him, so what?" Rather, at that particular time, a consistent Christian witness is to say this to your friend, realizing that for the time being, it can be very offensive. Jesus is more than just a prophet. Jesus is a savior of the world, who suffered and died at the cross, has paid the price for our sins, and if we will trust him as our Savior and Lord, we have that peace which passes all understanding and eternal assurance in heaven. Now let me help you, my friend, with your relationship with a God who loves you, a God who wants to redeem you, a God who wants to bring you home to heaven. Only to hear your friend say, "You want to help me? Are you judging me? Do you think that I'm lost? Who are you to judge?" You see, it's at that time that to be consistent with our Christian faith is not easy. I'd like to go back to Tony Dungis just once more. Tony lost a son. The son was only 19 years old. Tony describes with great language how heartbreaking it was to look into that casket and to see that boy whom he had loved so much and who he continued to love and how his heart was breaking. He went out and conducted a part of the funeral service himself. He simply had to talk at that service. The auditorium was filled, and these were his words to the congregation. Quote, "It is great to be here today." That's how I began. And then I paused, knowing the people felt I must have misspoken. I know that's a strange-sounding message. But when you came in today, one of the first songs you heard was, "I will bless the Lord at all times," which says, "I will bless the Lord and praise for him will always be in my mouth." I explained that those words were from the 34th Psalm, which King David wrote. At that time, David didn't write that at a time of triumph. He wrote when he was on the run from Saul, fleeing for his life in desperation. Even so, he was able to say that he would constantly praise God and bless him. That's not easy to do. In fact, it's difficult at times. The only way we can praise God at all times is to remember that God can provide joy in the midst of a sad occasion. Tony writes, "Our challenge today is to find that joy." Think of it. Coach Tony, who was a witness for Jesus Christ on the football field, now was a witness at the funeral of his 19-year-old son in an auditorium. I tell you, friend, the power of a consistent witness is what the Lord Jesus wants from us. So now let's turn to the blind man whom Jesus healed in our text today. I'm sure you're acquainted with this text, and I want to spend the next 5 Sundays just trying to pull some great thoughts out of what Jesus was doing there with that blind beggar. The Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples had come into an area where there were a lot of people. In that area, there was always a blind beggar. He stood there asking, or sat there asking, for a little handout in order that he might keep body and soul together. Now suddenly on this particular day, Jesus and the disciples came by, and one of the disciples said, "Lord, who sinned, the blind man or his parents?" And that's another thought I want to deal with in another day. And Jesus said, "Neither." But then he said to the blind man, "I'm going to take a little of this dirt, and I'm going to spit on it, and I'm going to create a mud pie. And then I'm going to anoint your eyes with that mud. After I've done that, you go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, and you will see." The blind man did just that, and his eyes were opened. Now he came back to the crowd, and the people began to look at him and said, "Who is that man? Isn't he the one who was always the beggar here? He was blind. Now he's able to see. How were your eyes opened?" they asked as he got closer to them. "What really happened anyway?" And then the blind man said, "Well, this person by the name of Jesus, he healed me. You know how he did it? He made some mud, and then he put it on my eyes. And then he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I went and I did just that. And I could see. I am that man. You don't have to wonder if it's another person. No, I'm the blind man who was healed by Jesus." Well, hearing that, the people got very concerned, and so they went to the disciples. Now let me read you a part of our text. It's in the 9th chapter of John. That's where we're studying now for a few weeks, beginning with verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked how he had received his sight. "Now he put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "That man is a prophet." They came to him the first time. "How did you get your sight back?" The blind man answered, "Jesus did it." And then he told him how. The Pharisees huddled. And then they came back to him and they said, "You know, this man is a sinner. Tell me again. How did you get your eyesight back?" And the blind man who had been healed said, "I told you, Jesus anointed my eyes with mud, told me to go to the pool of Siloam, and I went." Same answer, a consistent witness. So they went away again, and this time they went to the man's father and mother. And they pointed to the blind man who had been healed, and they said, "Is that your son?" And they said, "Yes, it is." And they said, "Was he really blind?" And the parents said, "Yes, he was." "Well, then how How did he get his sight back? We're going to talk about that on another Sunday, too. They said, go and ask him. He's of age. He can tell you. And so a third time, these Pharisees came back to the blind man. And they said to him, look, this man is a sinner. Give glory to God. The blind man replied, now watch the consistency of that answer. Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? Here is a consistent witness. First, Tony Dungy. From the football field to the funeral service to other parts of his life, there was a consistency. He was not damning God one day and praising him the next day. So was the blind man. He was no theologian. He didn't understand all of their Jewish laws. When they began to throw at him the idea that he should not have done that because it was a Sabbath day, he just shrugged his shoulders. He said, well, probably he shouldn't, but I'm pretty glad he did, because now I can see. In other words, consistency. Consistency, friend, that's what's important for us to know. And so what does this text have to do with us today? What does it say to us? Let me say this. If Jesus Christ has met you and you have received him as your Savior and Lord, you really have a testimony. That testimony doesn't change. It might have happened in your life when you were just 8, 10 years old, and you're telling the same story. When you have these great spiritual awakenings, that adds to your testimony. One such experience for me was listening to a theological professor speaking. I was yet a college student. He was speaking to 400 ministers. I've told you that many times on this program. It's my testimony that as he sat talking to the preachers, he said to them, people, tell them that Jesus Christ has done it all. Don't tell them that he has done a part to pay for your sins and they have to do a part themselves. Just tell them that Jesus Christ has done it all, and all they have to do is trust him, and their sins are forgiven, because then they will go out and live a life that is acceptable, pleasing, out of love for him, filled with sin, to be sure, but the Holy Spirit working with us every day as a fruit of the faith that in Jesus Christ I am one of the redeemed, and in Jesus Christ I live a different life. You've got a testimony to tell. That is emotional enough that you never forget it. It is really placed into your mind and into your soul. I can tell them that my sin is forgiven. And when the person says, where is your Christianity today? I would hurry on to say, well, it's inconsistent right here, and I'm sorry, but do you know what? I have a Savior. I have a Savior who will forgive me and send me on my way. Friend, whether it is at worship or it is at work, we need to have a witness that is truly consistent. In all circumstances, in all conditions of life, when we face difficulties, and there are many of them, and when we face those days of joy, just keep right on saying the very same words. There may be many things about your Christianity that changes, but that witness that points you back to the Lord Jesus, that does not change. Tony Dungy has brought to many people a tremendous statement of faith. And so we press on into an abundant life, and when that is over, into an eternity where we are assured that we belong to God and we will live with Him forever. As we find ourselves deep into the Lenten season, let us remember what it's all about, that Jesus suffered and died on a cross, that we might be His forever. It is the mark of a Christian. It is a witness of a Christian that he will share with his children. Jesus died for me, Bob. Jesus died for me, Mary. It is a witness that he will share with his siblings. It is a witness that he will share with his friends. We have a Savior. Let us live unto Him. Amen. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, you have told us that we are to be your witnesses. We realize, O God, how difficult that can be from time to time. We live in a tough old world, God, and we confess when you call upon us to say a good, strong word for you. We may not contradict what you taught us, but we confess that we are silent. And being silent at a time like that means denial. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that that faith that you have created in us to say Jesus is mine may be a faith that expresses itself consistently every day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the gifts from our listeners. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. For help in including Christian Crusaders in your will, contact our office at 1-888-693-2484. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a gift to help defray production and mailing cost is always appreciated. We are also offering our DVD series, Basic Biblical Truths. This 5-disc video set is available for a suggested gift of $10 each or $50 for the set. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you may dial 277-0924. Or visit our webpage anytime at christiancrusaders.org, where you'll find a printed and audio version of today's program. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.